Hello and welcome to the Brand Thomas podcast. Today's podcast is a very special podcast to celebrate International Women's Day. And our guest today is Anne Pitcher, Managing Director of the Selfridges Group, a collection of five iconic global brands, including Brand Thomas and Arnott's. Anne has been lauded with single-handedly reinventing retail in the last year, introducing world-leading initiatives such as Project Earth, ReSelfridges, and the Oxfam pop-up at Selfridges. Last year, Anne also won the coveted Veuve Clicquot Bold Woman Award in recognition of her outstanding contribution to retail. In today's podcast, she tells us how the Selfridges Group is reinventing retail globally by setting industry standards for sustainability, extraordinary customer experience, and relentless innovation, to name but a few. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brand Thomas podcast. I am so delighted to welcome you to the podcast today, and thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, good morning. It's great to be with you, and shame I'm not with you in person. You know, I can't wait to get back to Ireland and see and feel and experience our stores and our teams there again. Missed it so much.
I know, and they're better than ever, and there's so many exciting plans. I think that there really is a sense of excitement building that we might be coming out the other side of this. You guys a little quicker than us, perhaps, but we'll all get there. So we really wanted to talk to you today to celebrate International Women's Day, and the theme this year is Choose to Challenge. So as a woman in your position, we think you have a lot of insights that can help our listeners today.
Well, we'll try. We'll see what we've got to explore. But yes, it's a great moment, and I think Choose to Challenge is a great approach to how we can make a difference.
Yeah, and tell me, in your career, have there been times when you felt like you've had to challenge the status quo, where you felt a gender balance in your industry?
I mean, I believe I've been very fortunate, because retail is a career that celebrates women. And also, I think, you know, when we look at the entire population across the Selfridges Group, we are more than 2/3 women, mm-hmm. Which is exciting. But I think what we have to do is be sure that women feel that they can build their careers, and that we do nurture their talent as we allow them to grow within our organisation. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the biggest challenge is continuing to keep that opportunity alive and ensuring that we create a framework where people that want to progress feel able. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit more then how the Selfridges Group are supporting women and championing women in positions of leadership like yourself?
I mean, it's not a bad start. Our chairman's female, I'm a woman. Across all of our leadership teams, you know, there is a very I think fair balance of gender, but of course, you know, any company I think today has to be really aware of the opportunities it provides for everybody, you know, the relevance we need to have in our communities, the relevance we need to allow for our teams, there is a very broad agenda. I think legislation and regulation has helped propel gender balance, and we don't rely on that, but we can use that to review where we are. But I'm very excited actually now about the broader agenda that we're allowed. But not a bad start. I hope people feel that they can, not a bad place. I hope people feel that with such strong female leadership, this is an opportunity to grow your career.
Mm-hmm. And then would you have any particular advice for women in less welcoming industries then?
Look, I think as women, we need to have the confidence to believe in ourselves. And I think it's very often a trait that men demonstrate better than women.
Absolutely.
And I think this Choose to Challenge is a great moment to say, what confidence do you have in your particular skill or your particular concern? And how can you use your own energy to share that and bring that to life? And I think this is about an inner confidence that we need to help people have, mm-hmm. in fact. But at all levels of organisations across the world, you know, we hear more and more women coming forward. And when they do, it creates a broad conversation with much more depth than if it's just a single voice. Mm-hmm. So I feel that the women need to be empowered and need to find their own strength to come forward. We were just talking about outstanding leadership earlier, and you know, we were talking actually about, you know, the fabulous Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And the recent the recent activity she's done with, you know, re-recording Jolene to sort of propel, you know, acceptance of wanting to have a vaccine across you know, the states and now the world.
Yeah.
And actually she's more power with using that voice and strength than probably leaders of the biggest countries in the world.
Yeah.
And so it's inspiring for me to see the many levels on which women can find their own confidence and strength to come forward. I'm not saying confidence is necessarily a trait Dolly doesn't have, but she's used her skill to find her voice, and I think that's really exciting.
Absolutely, and that, I suppose, that ability she has to engage, you know, and that's very, very powerful too. And Anne, I have to congratulate you because you've recently been awarded the Veuve Clicquot Bold Woman Award, and you got particular praise for championing, you know, women in leadership positions and increasing the number of women in leadership positions in the Selfridges Group. What did this award mean to you?
Well, lots of champagne.
Yes, I hope.
I suppose that's a throwaway line. I always liked a glass. No, I'm only joking. I was honoured to receive the award, and I feel I've only achieved it because of the people I have around me who've helped me to be the person I am. But I believe, you know, women are showing the world there's a new way to lead. I think built on creativity, courage, and respect for people and planet. I think women are emerging as great leaders, particularly with these skills. And so I think it's a very exciting time. I think that hopefully it's the way we can collaborate and be inclusive in our approach that is one of our strengths that allows us to take these roles. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a general recognition that we talked about it earlier, that a balanced approach across leadership teams is really the best way to build a leadership team. So I think businesses that do that well, we can prove they are achieving more as a result. And we do have good balance across all our leadership teams within the group. So again, I hope our teams can feel inspired by the opportunity that allows.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little more about your career then, leading up to this wonderful recognition. Where did your journey in retail begin, Anne?
No, I'm proud to call myself a shop girl.
Good.
You know, I started at 16 in a small shop selling artists' materials in a small town in Hertfordshire. And I was a Saturday girl and I never had more fun. And from that point onwards, you know, when I left school with my A-levels, I had no real clue what I wanted to do. And so I took a long summer holiday job in the store. And it was only, you know, that enjoyment of being with customers and people every day and on the shop floor that I kind of set my mind on trying to find a way forward. So I was lucky enough to join a training scheme. And from that moment, I think I've probably done every single job you can imagine, you know, in retail, across all categories, in every role, in every management role. And of course, you know, using that strength now to embrace the new opportunities of building our digital business. And really, you know, they aren't different skills. I think transforming the skills to take those businesses forward, but continuing to bring the shop floor to life has kind of been what I've enjoyed the most. And it's allowed me really to be the person I am.
Mm-hmm. And when you set yourself a path to continue in this industry going forward, did you always want to get to the top? Was that your aspiration, or did you have any particular assumptions about how your career would look?
No, I didn't. And I often reflect and say, how did actually all this happen?
Funny.
And that's, you know, maybe not what you want to hear. But what I was taught at school was that, you know, if you prepare yourself, you can have whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it was the experience and the learnings that I achieved along the way that allowed me to sort of grab a hold of opportunities. And I think that's what I would share the most, that if you're prepared, you can actually have whatever you want. It's just a question of choosing at what point you want to take it or not. And many people don't want to. But it doesn't mean that you can't influence or affect change if you aren't in a leadership role. And I think that's really important to share. But yeah, I don't really know how all of this happened, but I'm pleased it has.
I bet. And when you talk about that preparation, you know, what did that entail? Just hard work?
I have worked hard. Retail is hard.
Yes.
It's long, it's hard, and your feet hurt. Mm-hmm. That said, it's inspiring. I find it inspiring. And I'm lucky I chose a job that suits me. But I find it inspiring because I enjoy constant change and constantly seeking out new opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the, I guess there are three words that always come to mind whenever I'm asked this question, which is look, listen, and learn.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open, continue to hear what people are saying, and take what you will from that and make it your own. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an incredibly easy thing to say, and sometimes a really hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. But there's so much happening around us, and the sensitivities that we need to apply to that as we understand more and more, and how much more important this becomes as we seek to reinvent retail, how people are changing, how people's needs are evolving, and how we use the basis of our learning and understanding and our empathy to understand what to do with that, I think is an exciting moment. So, look, listen and learn.
That's good advice. And I always, you know, we've spoken to so many female founders of global brands on this podcast and women in leadership roles like yourself. And, you know, the common theme or the common characteristic, I suppose, is passion for what you do. Like, it's clear that you enjoy what you do. I'm sure there are hard days and there are days that you really enjoy it. But I think that obviously just spurs you on so much to just find a role that, you know, is exciting and inspiring for yourself.
I mean, it's been a tough one, hasn't it? It's been a tough year, and there have been some pretty big challenges. And it's great, actually, only recently this week in Ireland to be able to celebrate our Extraordinary People Awards. And, you know, I'm proud to be a part of that. So thank you for including me to the team. And I think when we look at those nominees, you know, there's been some phenomenal work done, but there is also some inspiring women coming through in that group. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's been difficult times. We've all had to face difficult challenges, but it's only accelerated some of the things that we knew we had to embrace. Mm. And some companies haven't really understood what to do with that, I believe, across our group. And some of what was shared yesterday, I think, with the Brand Thomas Arnott's teams, shows that we do have a purpose. And I think bringing that to life will be the excitement of the future. Bringing to life the excitement of the shop floor and the energy of our teams, bringing that to life in the digital space and creating a relationship across those two platforms that means, you know, we're a business that people can trust, and we have people that people can relate to. Mm-hmm. One of our teams in Montreal said in a workshop the other day, our customers don't want to know what we know. They only want to know that we care. And I thought that was such a great line to take away. And we girls, we care a lot, I think.
I think you do, absolutely. So, Anne, the last year has been, as we've touched on, the last year has been incredibly challenging for most industries, but retail more than most. You know, it has been very, very tough. How have you led the group through this then?
It certainly has been the most challenging year of mine and most people's careers so far. And it felt like throughout the course of 2020, every time you turned a corner, another challenge arose. So the beginning of the year, obviously COVID was our first challenge. And as we began to wrestle with that, with the killing of George Floyd, an entire conversation around diversity and inclusion allowed us to kind of rethink the way we are organized across our businesses. And now all of those businesses have either D&I boards or squads to bring this to life and allow us how to embrace significant commitment that we've made towards a more balanced workforce. But you know, when we sort of geared ourselves up to understand how to manage that, something else came around the corner. And then we locked down again, and then there was lockdown three. So it was a year of demonstrating huge agility and fresh thinking and embracing things that in some part that we knew had been a problem for years, but we just hadn't got to. So I think it's allowed us to reflect on what we will need to be and how we will need to manage our business in the future. And reinventing retail has allowed us the opportunity to think forward and to think about a sustainable future. Balancing your time between the operational challenge and the need and desire to think about the future is a problem for any individual. And hopefully we've begun to allow people space to think in that way. And so having the confidence to raise hugely challenging issues and understand you don't have the answers has allowed us to lead from within and invite our teams to help us understand what to do and how to move forward. So, I mean, I've enjoyed it actually in an odd way. I can't really believe I'm saying that because it didn't feel very enjoyable at the time. But as I reflect on how much more leadership has been shown from within, the agility and pace with which we've managed all of these challenges and crises, and the plan that we have and have so recently shared, the team have shared in Ireland recently, I think shows us that we have more strength now to go forward than we've ever had before. And surely that must also give us all huge confidence that there is a future if we reinvent the current formula that we have.
Absolutely. And I want to talk a little more about that. You know, what you are doing very well in Selfridges Group is building that sustainable future, because it is quite clear we cannot, as consumers, keep going the way we are and consume the way we have done. So can I ask you a little more then, as a retailer, how are you adapting to this particularly?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognise that it has an authenticity and an honesty that comes from with it. Deep within all of our businesses, and that we've been doing it for a long time. We didn't come out of the COVID challenge and decide to be sustainable. We've been doing things, and you know, particularly great to recognise some of the work that we've been doing across the group more recently. I mean, all for years in Ireland, celebrating local talent with Create, and more recently experimenting with the circular models in Arnott's. And of course, you know, bringing Project Earth to life in Selfridges. Mm-hmm. But I'm really proud of the way that across each of our businesses, we have a five-year plan, a five-year, I think, well-embedded approach to how our agenda needs to drive, targets around environmentally impactful materials, a reduction in our to be net carbon zero by 2050, and to change mindsets and change the way people shop. And, you know, across the group, that didn't just come out of thin air. That's been a long time in the making and is actually who we are deeply. Mm-hmm. So we will move forward experimenting. But I think, you know, as a business, we need to make sure that we recognise how our customers' mindsets are evolving. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then they're going to go somewhere else. And we can prove statistically how much they care about sustainability, how much our teams are involved and see us as a person or a company that they want to work for because of our approach to sustainability. And a sustainable future. So exciting times. We've got a lot to understand. You know, will these business models truly contribute to current profit, or are they business models of the future that we need to try now? An inspiring opportunity with a team who are well geared up to try and test things. I think the future, 2020 has taught us a lot. We will begin a new journey in 2021. So exciting.
I think that matching the customer's mindset is really important, and the customer needs to know that the retailer cares. We want that. Now, Selfridges have demonstrated this already with Selfridges and the Oxfam pop-up in Selfridges. But can you tell me a little more about Project Earth? That's really interesting.
Well, I mean, Project Earth, you know, a lot of people said, gosh, how did you come out of COVID and do that? Actually, it took years, of course, with a strong foundation, as we've talked about. But I think... It's been the start of a transformational journey about how we do business and how we're going to change the way we, how we're going to help our customers change the way they shop.
Yeah.
And it's a 5-year plan, as I've identified, with clearly defined targets, which becomes very important that we aren't just greenwashing. We have commitments and we're prepared to stand by them. So Project Earth is really the beginning of I would say, a really important discussion that we want to establish a relationship with our customers on a whole other level. We want to build our trust with them. Today we have materials targets, which will mean that we will show at point of sale that our commitments to special materials. But I would think in 2 years' time, I would hope that would just be expected, that we're a brand that looks after them, that for our customers and our teams. So Project Earth has been a real learning. I think other than our commitments that we've made through Project Earth, it's also proved to be a channel through which we've met so many new customers.
Mm.
And actually, half of the people that came to Project Earth through our communications have actually shopped with us and become new customers. And for me, that's a really exciting opportunity to show that we're more than a shop. We're a social space. We're a place where people can engage on a broader level about the things that they care about.
Yeah.
And that has a whole another set of opportunities for us to bring to life these commitments in the stores. So Project Earth is a Selfridges project, but all of our businesses have fantastic roadmaps and local recognition, and their relevance locally to their consumer, their communities and their teams is what will allow them to build a sustainable future with a toolbox or a kit of parts, if you will, that has lots and lots of things that have got to get done, but are all, I think, widely understood. So, it's really difficult, though. Let's not fool ourselves. It's a hard journey. And it does require at the very base level a real commitment to certain goals to make them happen. But also, I think it doesn't have to be boring. And most people can be accused of thinking sustainability is boring. But again, let's look at the way we've brought it to life across our banners. Project Earth is only one lens that was suitable for Selfridges. But there's been so many great things that have been achieved in Ireland. We've got a lot to learn.
We do. And you mentioned the customer, perhaps becoming more discerning. Have you noticed that in other aspects of retail post-COVID, the changing needs of a customer?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all become very aware of the increase, the necessity and the increase for shopping digitally, shopping online. And I think that's a behaviour that won't go away. I think we've all more than smashed all of our kind of digital plans, which perhaps suggests we weren't ambitious enough in the first place, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also, I think, ourselves understood that having been at home for so long, we've begun to value different things. And I think that's about our home, our lives, our families. Our well-being, our sense of self. And I think those things are manifesting themselves in different shopping behaviours. So, and by that I mean much more of a focus on living, food, entertaining, all experience-led things, which is kind of what we hold ourselves so capable of sharing with our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing is that, people haven't bought any clothes. So how exciting is that? April the 12th, here we come, in the UK at least. And I think our attitude and our approach to the way we dress is, of course, revolutionised.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how that comes back to life. What does a party look like in future versus the Zoom party of the last 12 months?
We're exhausted by our Zoom parties. But do you think that life will go back to the pace that it had before, where people are frantically looking for a dress for one occasion? Do you think the mindset has changed permanently?
I think what will happen is digital will continue to accelerate without question. And if we look at the movement in the marketplace generally, we can already see that happening. But I think what we've all learned from digital during the last few years is it's very efficient. I mean, I've spent a lot of money on a certain website you'll all recognize, which delivers super fast, very efficient service. And that's what they are set out to do. Yeah. But the experience is nil, other than it's fast and good, which is, by the way, worth having. But I think what we will see is without doubt a return to stores as people want to feel the sight, the sound, the smell, the spirit of our brands and how it shines through our people. Mm. I think that won't go away. The competition is less, which allows us more opportunity. But I think the two will play together, digital and physical, very happily in the future. And those stores who present themselves as more than a shop, in every measure, that they bring through the creativity and the innovation, that the focus and the opportunity to bring to life art, music, culture, and create an experience like none other, are those businesses that will not only survive, they are those businesses that will excel. And that's going to be us.
And you mentioned that experience. And I think that for me, that's what shopping in Brand Thomas has always been. It's been experiential and a pleasure more than a necessity. Everything from the atmosphere in the shop to the window displays, you know, there's a lot that goes into that experience. What do you think that experience will look like going forward?
I mean, I think there are evolving business models that we need to bring to life. So we talk about rent, refill, reuse, repair, resell. I mean, who would have ever thought we'd have had an Oxfam shop in the most expensive retail space in the world in London? And by the way, it was very successful. Yes. So I think that we need to evolve our approach to experience and reshape the way we do our job. Let's not just think of our customers as customers. Let's think about ourselves as an experience or an entertainment brand and explore new products and services that aren't within our mix today. And so, as I say, you know, think we need to be just more than a shop where you buy things. So a lot will change. And I think I can already see some very exciting things coming together. So never have I felt more the spirit of a business than when I've been in Ireland. And that has been the people and their relationship, which is so deeply embedded within their local communities, mm-hmm. and how our teams do care about their customers, who are really their friends. Mm-hmm. And I think if we begin to think about customer experiences moving on from personalization or just good service, which frankly is non-negotiable now, let's think of ourselves as cultural institutions and destinations that people want to visit for more than shopping, but to have fun and create and get a feeling that we care about them and their lifestyles and the way they behave. So yeah, I mean, we've all got everything we want. What more can we find? And that's always been what we've done in retail. Never just give them what they want. Show them what they didn't know they needed. And what does that mean from an experience perspective?
Well, it's an experience I'm very much looking forward to experiencing again. And thank you so much for telling us about the future for Brand Thomas Ireland, but for Selfridges Group as a whole. It's very exciting. And, you know, I think the staff of Brand Thomas have to be commended because they did connect like that during lockdown. They were on Instagram. They were in touch with the people that they missed. So it's lovely that we can get back to that soon. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you. I wish you well.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.